Well, continuing on with break number 68, we are in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians, see now we've even added to the group. There's more now. First we had Sanballat and Tobiah, now we've got the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites. When they heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. Boy, it just keeps adding up, doesn't it? And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. So this is one of the biggie obstacles that I want to bring out in Nehemiah, is that these people, they get angry about what you're trying to do or what we are trying to do, or what, again, what some of the people in the country are trying to do to make America great again, et cetera, et cetera. So they say, I mean, that's what they're saying, but people are reacting anyway. But let's just get back to us and Paul and the King James Bible, rightly dividing and everything. They get together. And they conspired together, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Well, right away, I'm thinking of Acts chapter 23. And here's a conspiracy, and I believe this conspiracy exists today. It exists in the churches. If you ever have an opportunity to talk to people about a King James Bible or rightly dividing or following Paul only, throw that word only in there. And then if you get into the Paul crowd and you teach about the manner of life and the things that to be done to please God and to avoid this and have no company with these people and not to do these things. I mean, Paul still teaches a Christian walk. Then there's people out there that they will conspire. I know who many of them are. I've met them face to face. I've been in pastor offices and tried to talk to people about this. I've been into a Baptist pastor's office, and I just look at them and I go, this is easy to understand. Why do you miss this? But they do. Anyway, these people all get together. They're wroth, just like it says, and they will conspire together to hinder your change in your life, or to hinder the change in your family. Or hinder to change what you're trying to do at work. Hinder to the change whatever you're trying to do to please God better. You're going to be having a conspiracy against you, as Paul found out. So let's go to Acts chapter 23, verse 12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now, therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him." I'm telling you, there's a conspiracy to get rid of Paul. There's a conspiracy to this day. They are working together out there. They get rid of this King James Bible, to get rid of Paul, to get rid of rightly dividing, and they've done a really good job. And again, I have even talked to the Bible-believing King James people, but they just won't go so far as to go to Paul. It doesn't go with the Baptist doctrine. It's amazing, isn't it? There's a conspiracy against Paul, and there was a serious one. I mean, it says we will neither eat nor drink. And there are some people that just, they're out to get you for what you're trying to do. Might be your boss, might be your neighbor, might even be one of your family members. I mean, they will dump you in a flash. They're conspiring against you. Okay, verse 9. Nevertheless, this is Nehemiah again. Nevertheless, all this stuff going on, conspiracy, they're wroth, angry, the whole thing mocking them. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." That's my second major obstacle in our lives to make changes in your family, whatever, wherever you're trying to look at here, or what you've ever tried to do, is we just have a lot of rubbish in our lives. We just do. Media, the money we have to make because of all the rubbish we have to pay for, and you know, it just goes on and on. You can do your own little sermon there. Now remember, he said back up in verse 2, though, Sanballat even said, "Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" So even Sanballat knew there was rubbish everywhere. And then Judah down here says the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. I mean, they're wearing out. They're, The strength is decaying. There is so much rubbish, we're not able to build the wall. We can't do it. You can't make the change in your life. You can't make the change in your family. You can't make this because there's just so much rubbish. And that's very true, possibly, actually. You've got the rubbish of what the kids are listening to. You've got the music to deal with. You've got the friends you have to deal with. You've got the school system. You've got the health, maybe. You've got the lack of finances. You've got tons of bills. I mean, you've got tons of food around. You can just go on. The rubbish that's in our lives can actually prevent us from wanting to do more. Sometimes the people in our lives would be considered rubbish. So, verse 11, and our adversary said, this is what Tobiah has said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Ah, here's another threat. This obstacle it's a sneaky one. They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them. Boy, do we have a lot of that today. We got in the country all these things, all these immigration issues coming in. But how about just in your own life? You've got these people that are conspiring to get you. They're angry, they're wroth, and they feel offended by the whole thing that you're trying to do. And listen, they don't know. But I'm going to get in there. I'm going to get into his life. I'm going to come over. I'm going to see him. I'm going to try to take him out to dinner. I'm going to try to take him someplace they won't go. I'm going to try to get inside with them. I'm going to get him in the midst of them, and then I'll get him. And that'll cause their work and their life to stop. That's another obstacle we have to deal with. Oh, amazing. That's why I say this Nehemiah stuff is fascinating to me. Verse 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, see, I mean, those people, they're conspiring to get you. They will not let you grow. They will not let you change, et cetera, et cetera. They do not give up. They said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. We're going to be there. We're going to be there. We're going to get you. We're going to be there. We're going to sneak in. 10 times they said that to him. Verse 13. Therefore said I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. So Nehemiah knew God can stop this. God can take care of things. And he's prayed and asked God to do so. But in the meantime, he is defending their people. So the rest of this chapter talks about the defense that Nehemiah sets up. And it's kind of interesting. With their swords, their spears, and their bows. But it gets even a little bit more interesting. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Reminds me of the speech that Stonewall Jackson said to the Confederates. We're doing this, we're fighting this war for your families, for your wives. I remember that. That was not that I was there or anything, but I remember reading about that. Okay, verse 15, and it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, so see, God is working in their lives, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, whatever, that's the breastplate, that's the armor they wear. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. God will take care of stuff. God's going to do what he's going to do, but I still am ready to defend my family. I'm ready to defend myself. I wish I could say what I went through the other day when we had a sheriff come into our school and show us how to protect ourselves in these classrooms with erasers and stuff. And I just stood there thinking, this is insanity, what I'm hearing here, but I won't get into that. And it says here in verse 18, for the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. So when Nehemiah says, hey, listen, blow the trumpet, we got to go to war here, they were ready. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. Bring your weapons, and yet God will fight for us. We have our weapon. We have our sword. We should go nowhere without our King James Bible. When they attack us with what they're going to say, or they mock us or whatever, or they ask a question and try to catch you, you whip out your little Bible and say, listen, let me show you what I'm talking about here. How can you deny this, Baptist friend? How can you, family member, how can you do this? How can you deny this is exactly what it says? I remember driving around down south there about a year ago, and I remember seeing all these billboards, religious billboards, and yet there wasn't a single scripture that was correct. They were all misquoted. And it bothers me to see so much misquoting of God's words everywhere, in advertisements, in billboards, in brochures, in church bulletins. I mean, anywhere you see scriptures written down, greeting cards, Christmas cards, whatever. No, that isn't what God said. Why do you say that's what God said? Why do you not see the difference? I have a couple of breaks ago that talks about the opposites. Do you realize that your Bible teaches that Israel is a bad bunch of people? Well, no, I don't know that. Well, you got to be able to show them. You got to be able to get out that weapon and do what you have to do. Ours is a spiritual warfare. We need a spiritual weapon. But then again, I also have something in my pocket in case the guy gets really wroth physically and wants to deal with stuff, and I'm ready for that too. Let's see, we're at verse 20, no, 21. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. I suppose some modern Bible says all day or whatever, but I think this is so good, King James, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one of his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So let's stay in the battle, let's stay where we're working, and stay with it. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. Doesn't leave anything out, does he? We're going to stay in this stuff, we're going to stay in the battle, we're going to be prepared, but we still got to wash our clothes, which is more than some people still do to this day. Anyway, you won't go there. So that would be chapter 5, and we'll do that in the next break.